everybody, and happy Thursday evening to all you fine folks out there watching on Bally Sports Live and MLB.tv. This is Clover Park in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida. Excited for tonight's Florida State League ball game between the homestanding St. Lucie Mets and the visiting Tampa Tarpons, who are the single-A affiliate of the New York Yankees. Tonight we have game three of a six-game series for you, and first pitch under perfect conditions is coming up at 6:10. We welcome you now to the broadcast booth. Adam McDonald joined alongside by Jake Ricker as usual. And Jake, what a great run the St. Lucie Mets are. A little skittish out of the gate, 1-3 start, but they've now won 5 of 7, including both games this week. A big win with the offense on Tuesday and a big win with the pitching staff yesterday.
One game over 500 for the Mets right now in this season. They have looked great on all sides of the ball. And even when one part isn't working at full capacity, whether it's the pitching or the offense, the other side is picking them right back up. They've been playing some really great baseball, looking to try and carry that momentum now throughout the rest of this week. If they win today, they can guarantee themselves a series split with the Tarpons.
Yeah, Tuesday was a big night. The Mets scored 17 runs, including 8 in the second inning. Yesterday, the pitching staff held the Tarpons to 1 run on just 3 hits. A big part of that was starter Nate Dome. He logged 5 innings, the deepest the starter has gone into a game this season for the Mets. And Jake spoke with Nate earlier today. We thank Nate for taking time out of his day to speak with Jake for the pregame show as we roll closer to first pitch on a gorgeous Thursday night on Florida's Treasure Coast. Mets come in with a 6-5 record, now above 500 for the first time this deep into a season since 2022. The only other time since 2022 the Mets have been above 500 was 1-0 when they won on opening night last year. They'll try to get the two games over tonight. Tampa, meanwhile, is 5-6. On the season after losing the first two games of the current series. In the Florida State League, the Palm Beach Cardinals are 7-4. They are alone in first place in the East, but the Mets and Daytona Tortugas are both one game back. Jupiter is 5-6, two back. Over in the West Division, Clearwater in first place at 7-5. Fort Myers, or 7-4 rather, Fort Myers 6-5, one back. Lakeland 6-6, a game and a half out. Tampa 5-6, two back. Dunedin 5-7, 2.5 out, and Bradenton 3-8, 4 back. Other games around the Florida State League today. Lakeland and Dunedin had the Education Day game in Dunedin, and Lakeland won by a score of 6-4 after losing 18-2 last night. 6:30, Clearwater at Palm Beach. That series is tied 1-1. Jupiter at Daytona at 6:35. Daytona up 2-0 in that series. Bradenton at Fort Myers, the late game at 7:05 at Hammond Stadium. It's a 2-0 Fort Myers series lead there. Pitching matchup for tonight's ballgame features Ethan Lanthier for the Mets. The 21-year-old from Hope, Minnesota, was the 12th round pick by New York last year out of Kansas. This will be his second start with the St. Lucie Mets, his third start with the St. Lucie Mets at home. He will be opposed by Griffin Herring, top 30 prospect for the Yankees, Grapevine, Texas, drafted last year in the sixth round out of LSU, part of that great 2023 LSU championship team.
Excited to see what Ethan Lanthier can do, holding a career 3 ERA. He's only pitched one-third of an inning at home, so chance for him to his first official start at Clover Park with the home fans behind him.
Mets taking the field. They're sticking with the orange jerseys, which they won in yesterday. Everybody else trickling out of dugouts for the national anthem, which is upon us. For that, we send it down to the field. And with that, it's go time for the Mets and Tarpons, who are meeting for the third of their 12 scheduled games this season. Tonight, game three of a six-game series at Clover Park. The Mets lead the current series 2-0, thrashing the Tarpons 17-6 in the opener and winning 5-1 on the Wednesday morning afternoon Education Day game. Mets own a +15 run differential in the series. Mets starting pitcher Ethan Lanthier looking for a better result this time at Clover Park. Remember the first start he had here, couldn't make it out of the first inning. A couple of errors behind him chased him out of the game after just recording one out. He was much better on the road last week against Lakeland. The lineup for the Tarpons: Roderick Arias, the top prospect on the team, is leading off. Playing short, Edwin Perez bats second, Brian Sanchez third, Angel Arraigned to cleanup, Parks Harbor back in the lineup, hitting fifth, Tyler Wilson sixth, Austin Green seventh, Marshall Toole gets his first action of the series, and Josue Gonzalez is at first base. As for the Mets defense, Jake will spin you around the diamond.
Starting in the outfield for St. Lucie, it is A.J. Ewing in left field. Jeff McNeil playing center field today on his rehab assignment. And then Simone Juan is in right from third to first. It's Colin Houck, Jeremy Rodriguez, Trey Snyder, and Vincent Ferrozzo caught last night and now playing first base. And your battery for the Mets is Ethan Lanthier, and Everson Gutierrez catching behind the plate.
This is not just the third game of this series, but the third game of 12 straight at home for the St. Lucie Mets. Say goodbye to the Tarpons on Sunday afternoon, have the Monday off day, and then welcome division rival Daytona in next week. So if you haven't had a chance to watch or come on out to Clover Park, please do so. Great weather all week long. Should be next week as well. It's our first $2 night of the season. Folks enjoying the $2 hot dogs, beer, soda, popcorn. We're going to enjoy some of that later in the broadcast. Home plate umpire Reed Hoover signals for the first pitch. Here it comes from Lanthier to Arias, and it's fouled off, and we are underway. First pitch right on time, 6:10. It's 77 degrees and crystal clear at the ballpark tonight. Thanks for coming along. Let's make it a good one. 0-1 pitch, breaking ball, the curve, missed outside, one and one. As usual, we have the challenge system in effect for today's game. Both teams have two challenges. Use wisely. 1-1, Lanthier misses up and out at 94. Two balls and a strike.
This is back-to-back nights now that we've had on-time starts.
Look at us. Look at us go. Fastball outside at 95. It's 3-1. Arias in the series has been held in check 1-for-7. His lone hit a double. Lanthier gets the swing and a miss, pulls the string on the slider, and it's a full count.
It's a good pitch to come back with. A lot of hitters expecting a fastball to make sure they get it over the zone, but Lanthier going with the slider.
Arias will use his timeout.
It's usually a sign of a confident pitcher that is not afraid to use his breaking stuff even behind 3-1.
Lanthier's payoff pitch, it's lobbed into left center field. Jeff McNeil tested early, and Jeff is going to make a sliding catch. Jeff McNeil getting a taste to center field and right out of the chute. He has to make a play on the run.
That's a great job by McNeil, who's not known for playing out in center field, typically on the infield at second base. Gets a good read on the ball, hustles over, and makes a nice slide to make that catch.
It's part of the rehab process. You want to be tested in all aspects, and certainly put on his running shoes there as his pitch is low. Well, the Mets and the New York Mets today made a couple of moves. They had to place Jose Siri, their primary center fielders, along with Tyrone Taylor on the IL with the fractured tibia. And they brought up Jose Azokar, who got a lot of playing time in spring training. Jeff McNeil getting a chance to play center in St. Lucie, maybe the chance that he might have to do something similar in New York one day, the injury to Siri. Edgleen Perez is in a 2-0 count. This pitch is high. 3-0. Slider in the zone. Perez in the batter's box for the moment. Another strike, and we have our first challenge of the day. Perez thought that was ball four. He might be right. We await the result, and it is indeed ball four. Close pitch. Looks like that's going to miss by less than an inch. Yep. So it's a walk, first and second, or rather, runner on first with one out here in the first inning, and Brian Sanchez will hit. Tarpon's offense hasn't done a whole lot in the series, hitting 129 as a team, just 8 hits in 62 at-bats. Or a light hitting club coming in on appeal. There's a Sandoval base umpire said Sanchez swung. Tampa came in with the lowest-ranked offense in the league. Now is the team hitting 189 on the season, 10 out of 10. That slider won't find the zone, a ball and a strike. Mets won 17-6. In game one, and won 5-1 yesterday. Swing and a miss. Good hard fastball at 95, right by Sanchez. And it's 1-2. Short lead for Perez off of first base. He's not running. Pitch inside corner for a call. Third strike. Sanchez down looking, and Lanthier picks up his first K of the evening. And in case you're wondering if that was challenged, it would have been unsuccessful. Clipped the very top of the zone. So two down. Lanthier trying to work around that leadoff free pass facing Engel Arrhenia. First pitch, breaking ball, hit out to left field. Ewing on the run, and A.J. will flag it down. Two nice plays in the outfield by the Mets in the inning. First, Jeff McNeil robbing Arias, and then Ewing doing his part for out number three. When we come back, Mets offense gets to work. Mets starting lineup looks like this. Jeff McNeil is going to continue his rehab assignment. He will lead off. We already know he's in center field. This is game number four of the rehab. He has a hit in each of the first three. Colin Houghton's had a good start this season. That's second. Perhaps nobody in the league has had a good start of the season as A.J. Ewing. Monster day yesterday. 3-4, a triple, double, single. Added a couple RBI runs, stolen base. Good defense. Marco Vargas back in the lineup for DH. Diverson Gutierrez on a five-game hit streak. Jeremy Rodriguez, Trey Snyder, Vincent Brozo, Simone Juan round out the order. Starter for Tampa, Griffin Herring, Grapevine, Texas. Sixth-round pick last year out of LSU. He's been really good this season. One unearned run in 10 1/3 innings in his two starts. Tampa could badly use a good start the way it's gone for them on the mound the first 2 days of this series. So here is McNeil off yesterday. Back in the lineup today as he progresses from the right oblique strain suffered in spring training. And his first pitch is swung on and missed out of the hand of Herring.
McNeil holding a .375 batting average here with St. Lucie. He's been good at the plate, trying to continue that streak here.
He rolls one up the middle. This will be backhanded by Green. The throw is good, and McNeil is retired.
Got over the top of that one a little bit too much. Pitch that broke pretty low in the zone. Ends up as a ground out. Nice job by the Tarpons defense to field it cleanly and get McNeil at first.
Colin Houck next. Triple then homered in the opener on Tuesday. Quieter yesterday 0-4 with the walk. Pitch is outside for ball one. And on the surface, on paper, this is probably the toughest starting pitcher the Mets have seen through the first 12 games. Just to see how the offense works tonight. Yesterday, the Mets didn't score many runs, but boy, did they set themselves up. They had runners all over the place early in the middle part of the game. Just had struggled to get them in. 2-0 pitch is high. Tonight, might be in for more of a grind.
Anytime you're facing a pitcher who's 1-0 on the season with a 0 ERA and 10 1/3 innings pitch with 13 strikeouts, it's going to be a tough battle.
Houck's in a 3-0 count, and he will take the free pass. Four straight misfires from Herring. Houck down to first.
But as you see from Colin Houck right here, great job on his pitch selection, not chasing pitches, making Herring work. And now you get A.J. Ewing to the plate, who has been absolutely scorching hot.
This is going to be a run in the first inning in three straight games. Well, here is A.J. Ewing, just a massive start to this season. Houck has a nice lead over at first. And Ewing will take that sweeper for ball one, which, according to the scouting reports, maybe the toughest pitch there for Griffin Herring. Houck looks like he might go. He's not. Pitch is high, and that's now six straight misses. Well, A.J. is hitting .459 on the season, on-base percentage .533, slugging .730, OPS 1.263. And those are all either one or two in the league.
Is that good?
That is good. Confirmed. Pitches up and in, and that's ball three. And now Urania step out in front of the plate and toss the ball back. Seven straight balls since the McNeil ground out. As Herring struggles to find his command, he does lay one over here. Josh Cross, the Palm Beach Cardinals. He and AJ are basically 1-2 in everything in the league. Cross just narrowly edges out Ewing for Player of the Week last week. 3-1 pitch, and Ewing will take strike two. Those two seem to be in a two-man race right now for potential Player of the Month award. Just only 13 more days left in the month. We'll see how it unfolds. Full count. Houck's got the lean. He's not running, and Ewing will foul one away. So all of a sudden, Herring has refound the strike zone.
It's three straight pitches right over the heart of the plate. AJ a little bit late on that one. Couldn't quite get all of it, but I fully expect if he gets another good pitch to swing at, he won't make a mistake again.
Another payoff, and Ewing will ground that one right side. Nearly hits Houck. The throw goes to first from Green. And Ewing is retired, so Herring rallies back from the 3-0 count to get the out.
And the most impressive part of that was Colin Houck having to hop over the top of that ball as it came right under his feet. Stayed out of the way.
Two-out RBI opportunity for Marco Vargas. No score in this one early. Have time called. As Herring goes back to the rosin bag. Vargas did not play in the morning game. As he takes this pitch for a strike. He had a really good game on Tuesday in the opener. A couple of walks and a run. He scored three times. It's a lefty-heavy lineup early. Top of the order with McNeil, Ewing, Vargas. After that, righties all the way through. 0-1 pitch, and it's a big cut. Nothing in two. Two pitch, and Vargas will look at strike three, lingers for a moment, but accepts the result, and that will retire the side, full ball in the strike zone according to StatCast. So both teams scoreless in the first, stranding a runner each side. ready for the second inning. The Parks Harbor, Tyler Wilson and Austin Green batting for the Tarpons. Against Ethan Lanthier. We'll help from his deep bench that first inning with Jeff McNeil and A.J. Ewing making nice plays. Harbor playing in his second game this week. Was off yesterday playing in the opener. Curveball low. Harbor 1-for-3 with a single and a walk. 17-6 Mets win on Tuesday. Takes another breaker in four strike. 1-1. While the Mets are in the midst of the two straight weeks at home, Tampa, two straight weeks on the road. Slider won't back in for a strike. Tampa was in Fort Myers last week, went 3-3. They'll return to their side field next to Steinbrenner Field next week. That pitch low, it's 3-1. Lanthier really trying to establish that breaking ball. Just can't quite get a handle on it yet. Gets the swing and a miss. And a pitch way out of the zone.
Always tough when you're on the road for 2 weeks. Don't get to sleep in your own bed for a long time. And that's something the Mets can take advantage of. Try and jump on the Tarpons early, which they have in these first two games.
3-2 pitch. Call the ball. Challenged by Gutierrez. We'll see if he just stole the strike.
I don't know. It looked like a ball from up here.
Wait the result, and it's going to be a ball. So not only is it a walk as opposed to a strikeout, but it is now a lost challenge, and the Mets are down to one the rest of the game.
Now, those are always the toughest challenges to lose. You think you may have saved yourself from a walk, but instead the walk happens anyway, and you lose a challenge. And with only two in the game, puts you on a tight spot for the rest of the game.
Ball is served into center field. McNeil on the run will play it on a couple of bounces. That's a base hit for Tyler Wilson. And the Tarpons have some life offensively here as Wilson climbed the ladder. Felt that single at center.
Not a bad pitch from Lanthier. It's a fastball up in the zone, but Wilson got his hands in, got a nice swing off, and drove that one into center field. And all of a sudden here, two runners on with no outs. We see how Lanthier is able to respond.
Now, Tampa's only led briefly in this series. They had a 1-0 lead in the top of the first yesterday. That was gone by the bottom of the first. But an opportunity here to take the lead early. This ball is flicked foul by Austin Green. Green this week playing in his second game, 0-for-4, two strikeouts in his first. Our umpire is going to, water bottle down. How'd that get on the field? Eagle Eye umpire. Reed Hoover.
One thing the Mets have done well in this series is limiting the damage in innings. They have a chance to get out of it here with no damage, John. They've only given up three runs in an inning at most in these first two games.
That slider gets in. Now Lanthier works ahead 1-2.
This is a big pitch coming up. If you can pick up the out, then you have a chance for a double play ball that can end the inning.
1-2, struck him out. Slider again. Green chases after it below the zone. Big strikeout for Lanthier. Out that doesn't move base runners. His second of the day. Now we come to Marshall Toole, the eight hitter. First game for him this week. Toole from Decatur, Georgia, 15th round pick by the Yankees last year. He'll take a high fastball at 96. Best velocity of the night so far.
Lanthier has thrown some really good pitches that have gotten hitters to chase. Just like to see him find that strike zone a little bit more often.
It was a swing and a miss. He was 14 strikes, 14 balls until that pitch put him back in the plus. Cutter this time looked like. It's all behind 2-1.
Something Nate Doan told us in the pregame interview is that the coaching staff has been preaching to these pitchers getting to that two-strike count as quickly as possible.
1-2 pitch. That's a misfire. 2-1. Well, that was really close. That one challenge left. Couldn't afford to use it. It was indeed a ball. Out of the zone, 3-1. And Lanthier can't get the fastball in at 94. So another walk. That's the third walk in the first eight batters. And it will load the bases with the nine-hitter Josue Gonzalez. And we're going to have a mound visit. Luis Alvarado, that's pitching coach in his first year with the team, will head on out for a visit as the Tampa Tarpons look to strike early and first tonight. Fans, a reminder, this homestand will continue tomorrow and then through the weekend. Games 4, 5, and 6 of the series against the Tarpons. Tomorrow, vets at the Mets. All vets and active military in for free, courtesy of Barron Real Estate. Saturday, the big Scooby-Doo night. And we have a social media video that's going to wow everybody.
Yes.
Dropping tomorrow morning. So
keep your eyes peeled.
And then the Sunday brunch on Easter Sunday.
It's a great time to come out to Clover Park. Mets at the Mets tomorrow. Scooby Night should be a lot of fun. I know we're going to have some fun with it up here on the broadcast.
Scooby Snacks, I hear.
Scooby Snacks.
We're going to see showrunner Phil, whoever he is.
And Sunday brunch. I know brunch was excellent last year. I can't wait to see what they do here in 2025.
We've got the menu. A strike one is delivered. We're going to have French toast.
Ooh.
Eggs, home fries. Bacon and sausage. Fruit. Fruit.
<Yeah. laughs> How do you throw that in there?
Yeah, make your mom happy. Some fruit.
Get those tickets on stlucymets.com. Come out, enjoy some baseball, and a nice Sunday brunch.
So after the mound visit, two straight strikes from Lanthier in the 0-2. And he struck him out. Slider perfectly placed. Freezes Gonzalez for the second out of the inning. Both strikeouts. That was middle-middle. Gonzalez just could not pull the trigger on it.
Well, I think that was a productive mound visit by Luis Alvarado. Comes out and three straight strikes, gets the strikeout.
And he's rediscovering the slider. So big at-bat now with Arias, and Arias nearly took one on the back foot for a free run. Nice save by Gutierrez. And a shaky inning for Lanthier with two walks and a single, but two strikeouts has him on the brink of getting through this. 1-0 to Arias, and he takes one outside. It's 2-0. So slider not so sharp this at-bat. Arias 0-for-1 at that fly-out to center field in the great running catch by McNeil. Went with the fastball at 96, and it's fouled back. And Arias knew that was coming. Just couldn't barrel it up. Arias, the number 6 Yankees prospect. 2-1 pitch, up and in for ball 3. Now it's crunch time for Lanthier.
I know Lanthier wants to be careful here against Arias, one of the talented hitters on the Tarpons, but really want to get one over the strike zone. Never want to give the free pass for a free run.
3-1 pitch, and it's going to be a ball 4 and a run for the Tarpons as the slider would not cooperate. Well, here comes Parks Harbor to score. It's 1-0 Tampa. I wonder if that's going to be the last batter for Lanthier. A long inning for him. Well, he will continue. Edgleen Perez. Slider swung on and missed. And that's a sharp one. That looked like the slider in the Gonzalez at-bat. Tighter. And it was more loopier with Arias at the plate. Strike two. It's part of baseball, right? From pitch to pitch. You can have it or not. Now a strike away to limiting the damage to the one unearned run. And he's done it. So a three-pitch strikeout. Then a walk, then another three-pitch strikeout. Tampa strikes first on the bases-loaded free pass. And it's 1-0, but Lanthier does strand three more. Have not trailed much this week. Matter of fact, just half an inning. Let's see if they can begin to erase it as Diverson Gutierrez set to lead it off against Griffin Herring. Gutierrez fouls one straight back for strike one. Gutierrez has hit safely in all six games he's appeared in this season, batting .346, the 19-year-old Venezuelan catcher. The slider out of the zone, one and one.
It'll definitely be interesting to see how the Mets respond now that the Tarpons have scored one. As we all remember, on Tuesday, the Mets scored three after Tarpons put up one, and then they scored eight in the very next inning.
Griffin Herring has other plans. 1-1. Big cut and a miss. Fastball, according to scouting reports, lives in the low 90s. Doesn't really blow anybody away. It's the sweeping pitch. Does the trick for Herring. 1-2 is outside at 87. The Mets do not have the services of Jared Young today. He was great in the rehab assignment. He departed after yesterday's game, heading north to Syracuse. He activated at some point. As Gutierrez swings and misses at the breaking ball. Second strikeout for Herring.
We're seeing early here that the Mets are going to need to be patient on those breaking pitches. And something Colin Houck and A.J. Ewing were able to do. A.J. wasn't able to draw the walk. Houck did. And a lot of these strikeouts have been on breaking balls out of the zone.
And there's that sweeper type pitch right there for strike one to Rodriguez. Mentioned earlier that the Mets didn't have any more lefties. I don't know what I was looking at. Just read my lineup card wrong. They have Rodriguez and Perozzo coming up. Rodriguez has not been bothered by lefties. Some of his best at-bats have come against lefties as he's gone fishing here. Well, the breaking ball, tough right now, as Rodriguez not happy at that offering. But the Mets crushed the breaking ball on Tuesday. As Trey Snyder comes to the plate and takes a fastball high. Not all breaking balls are created equal. One from Herring here tonight looks pretty tough. Two balls and no strikes.
Yeah, you're right. And not all breaking balls are created equal. And when a breaking ball is this good, the more you can lay off of it, the better. If it gets one in that breaks into the strike zone, you can only tip your cap.
Snyder will take a strike. Right. Tough start to the season for Trey, 3 for 27, playing in his 10th game. That'll even the count 2 and 2. Snyder swings and misses, and it's a 3-strikeout inning. And Griffin Herring, given the lead, responds by striking out the side. That's 4 consecutive strikeouts for the Tarpon southpaw. They are through 2. The Tarpons up 1-0. Been an up-and-down start for Ethan Lanthier this evening. In 2 innings, he struck out 4 and walked 4, including 3 passes with the bases loaded for the game's lone run. He's throwing 43 pitches. He will face Sanchez, Urania, and Harbor, 3, 4, and 5 in the Tarpons' order. First pitch is a ground ball to the second baseman, Snyder. Trey will underhanded off to Perozo. 1 pitch, 1 out. That will help the pitch count.
Nice fastball on the inside part of the plate. Gets a first pitch swing. That can really boost the confidence here of Lanthier as he tries to get through a quick inning.
Now, we've seen that stages early in this series. The Tampa Tarpons will swing early and often and make outs. And here's a ground ball up the middle. That's going to be cut off by Snyder. Long range throw. Perfect. Trey Snyder to his left. Trey Snyder to his right. Trey Snyder 2 for 2 and making plays.
And that's a really nice play by Trey Snyder again because of the pie slice. Have to start so far outside of second base. It's a much longer run than it may normally be for a second baseman. But makes the play in plenty of time and a very nice throw.
Well, 2 pitches, 2 outs. Hoss Brewer had the 3-pitch, 3-out top of the ninth on Tuesday. Parks Harbor got to take one here, right? Can't do that twice in a 3-day span. He did. He took ball 1. So from that ninth inning on Tuesday into Wednesday morning, Mets pitchers between Brewer and Dome are recorded like 9 outs on 15 pitches. Ball's fouled away. So just tells you how well things can go on the mound if you deliver strikes. Two. Harbor now knows that's where the strike zone is, the bottom.
That inning was so fast, I almost didn't get down there in time for the end of the game.
1-2 pitch. 2-2.
But something you love to see from the Mets, throwing strikes and getting outs. Most efficient way you can be.
2-2 pitch is fouled away, and if nothing else, Parks Harbor battling the six-pitch at-bat.
You know, I know this may be frustrating for Lanthier after you get two quick ones and then have to deal with Harbor, who's been doing a great job at fouling pitches off.
Oh, Harbor unloads the deep left. Ewing going back. He looks up, and this ball's gone over the Corona home run house. And Parks Harbor makes it a 2-0 Tarpons lead, his third of the season.
Credit where credit is due. This is a great at-bat by Harbor. He kept fighting pitches off. Lanthier was having one of his best innings, and then he gets a pitch to hit and crushes it to left field.
Second home run of the series for Tampa. Came in with just 8 hits through the first 2 games. The 10 now, and 2 of those are long balls. Ball fouled away by Wilson, and yeah, that's a tough inning for Lanthier. That long second inning with 3 walks and 3 strikeouts resulted in one run. He's on the verge of getting out of this inning in less than 10 pitches and surrenders a run. Ball is fouled back, and it's nothing and 2.
That was 106 off the bat, 418 feet. Ball hit a long way.
Yeah, when it sails the home run house, it's a shot. 0-2. And now Wilson won't go down without a fight.
Well, this is a nice job by Lanthier. Even after the home run, comes right back with 3 straight strikes. Not afraid to get back in the zone.
And pitch count now in the mid-50s. Coming towards the end of the line here. 0-2 pitch, a check swing foul. Staying with the fastball.
Wilson just finding a way to stay alive right now.
The changeup. Over fastball going foul. No play for Perozzo.
Thought there was going to be a good chance that ball was going to stay fair and that would have ended the inning, but just bounces to the right of first base and Lanthier will have to throw another pitch.
One, two, another foul. And this inning has corrected to the means after 2 pitches, 2 outs to start it.
Let's see, 2 pitches, 2 outs, and then you had the
6-pitch at-bat.
6-pitch at-bat, which ended on a home run, and now this coming up on the 8th pitch.
1-2, and he was fooled there on the changeup. Wilson goes down swinging. It's the 5th strikeout of the night for Lanthier, but Parks Harbor parks one over the wall in left, and it's a 2-0 Tampa lead halfway through the 3rd. But Jake, I think on the whole, our putting contestants are putting better than I do at the moment. I'm going to get that straightened out, but on hard times the last few rounds.
Are we going to get you down on that putting competition at some point?
If I go down there and I don't putt well in front of all these people, I'll never putt well again in my life on a real course.
We got you on the chipping contest.
That did not go well either. Vincent Perozzo at the plate to start things off for the Mets against the tough Griffin Herring. He's not surrendered a hit or a run yet. Just one walk. Perozzo bounces one over the mound. Into the pie slice comes Arias, and he delivers a good throw. We'll tire Perozzo. That's six straight set down by the southpaw for the Tarpons. Simone Juan, last man in the order. That narrow stance will stand in there. Wait for Perozzo to pass on by. Perozzo yesterday got on base four times. Twice walked, once plunked, one single. All one outside.
I got a chance to ask Perozzo yesterday about his little shuffle.
Shuffle?
Yes, and he said that's something he's been doing, and that's how he brings the energy.
And we said on the broadcast, well, whatever it takes to lock into your at-bat, right, if that's what keeps him focused and has him honed in on what to do, then so be it.
Love it.
Well, we're not going to make a lot of friends that way with the opposing team.
No.
I think that pitchers, depending on how the pitcher feels about certain things, but they can brush that off. They can be annoyed by it. Or they can just lock in as well and not even pay attention. 3-1 to Juan. And with the lineup getting ready to turn over, Juan going to get on base. 3-1 pitch, and that's ball four. So Simone Juan will take a walk down to first. We'll go back to the top, and McNeil. Pitch was out of the zone. The challenge would have been a loss. So first time through the order, Griffin Herring did well for himself. He didn't give up a hit, just two walks. Four-pitch walk to Hauk in that five-pitch plate appearance to Juan. Here's McNeil, who started the game with the ground out for the Mets at the plate. And he will take the fast strike at 89. So adjustment time, second time through the order. We'll see what the Mets have in store. It's tough right now as a hitter, though. You look at the pitcher, Herring in the sunlight. Batter's going to be in the shade. McNeil, a ground ball, could be two. Green shuffles to Arias, who secured it enough for the out there, but no double play as McNeil hustles down the line, no throw. Force out, 4-6 for the out at second. McNeil will be on first with two down.
Went to make that throw to get that double play, and as he moved it into his other hand, just dropped it. Couldn't get a good grip, and to the benefit of the Mets, meant it was just a fielder's choice and not a double play.
So the inning continues for Colin Hauk, who drew that four-pitch walk first time up. Neil avoids hitting into the double play. Probably should have been a double play. Can't consider that an error. The slider gets in for strike one.
Talked to Hauk during batting practice today. He said that he's been feeling really good at the plate. Knows even the couple of ones that did not drop for him. Swinging the bat well.
He's in a 1-1 count. And better contact. We saw it flashes last year. Some of his level swings, ball would just jump off the bat. Just wasn't enough of that. There's already more early in this year than last year. He's out in front of this slider. That is just a really tough pitch from a good pitcher. And there it is again for the strikeouts. That's the fifth strikeout of the night for Herring. He shakes off the walk to the nine hitter, gets the next two, stalking off the mound to the dugout, and the Tarpons hold a 2-0 lead over the Mets. Well, it's the fourth inning. You know what that means. It's Jake Ricker time. Well, Jake, I'm not handing you the lead, so the pressure's off. And a matter of fact, I've handed you the Mets not having a hit yet, so I feel good for you today. I feel like you can do it. You can provide the offense for this team.
Thank you, Adam. There's a new pitcher on the mound here for the St. Lucie Mets. It's Eli Ankeny. This is fouled back just below the broadcast booth. And it's 0-1 here to Green. And Lanthier's day is done. 0-1 pitch. Swung on and missed. Getting ahead 0-2.
Ankeny, three innings, two hits, two runs, four walks, five strikeouts, 59 pitches.
O-2 pitch. Taken high for a ball.
Feels like it's just one of those starts for Lanthier where he's had to work for everything. Come much smoother to the opposing pitcher, Herring. And the grinding at-bats there for Lanthier tonight.
1-2, fly ball into shallow center field. That's going to drop for a base hit. And now heading to second, he'll stop and head back. Well, Green thought about it for a moment to try and stretch that out. It comes back, and it'll be a single to lead things off here in the fourth.
Just a soft serve into center for Green. Didn't swing very hard. Plopped it out there and dunked it right over Rodriguez in front of McNeil.
Rankin will face off against Toole. Takes this pitch here for a strike. Toole had 286 on this season. Drew a walk back in his first at bat. Takes a outside fastball for strike two.
And Ankeny on minor league rehab assignment, coming back from the Tommy John surgery.
Set here, look to first, and now the 0-2 pitch. And that is taken for a called strike three for out number one. A great pitch from Ankeny.
That's what we saw last week in his one appearance in Lakeland. He pitched a perfect inning, struck out the side. That first game back, April 4th on opening night, coming back from missing over a year. A couple of walks, a strikeout, a run, a much sharper second time around.
It's the strikeout, and now we'll face off against Gonzalez. A big jump from Green there, was halfway, and then started to run back, never went. Gutierrez popped up for a moment, no throw to first. keep our eye over on Green. And a big swing and a miss. Gonzalez behind 0-2. Now, you can see Perozo there, who was lifting his arm to try and block out that sun. This is that time of day at Clover Park. It's really hard to see over at first. Here's a foul ball from Gonzalez to stay alive at 0-2. And that sun, that shade line just near first base. For the first baseman looking towards his pitcher. Has to squat down to find a little bit of shade. 0-2 pitch. Fouled off. Gonzalez got a piece of it. Gives runners an opportunity to try and take a bigger lead off. And maybe have a chance at a stolen base, but Green has stayed put over there at first base so far. O-2 fouled off again. Where have we seen this before? Again, Tampa hitters going behind 0-2. What, fighting to stay alive? Look at these long at-bats. Now this 0-2 pitch is laid off high. And then it's ball one in the at-bat. You know, it took six pitches to get a ball out of Ankeny. He's been throwing strikes. 1-2, flown up out of Clover Park. And we will go to pitch number eight of the at-bat. Runner on first with one out. Mets trail 2-0 here in the fourth. Now a pickoff move to first, back in safely as Green. It's a good accurate throw. Perozo did not have to move much. There's that shot. You can really see that sunlight. And a swing and a miss for strike three. Pinkney gets the strikeout on pitch number eight. Pulled the string, and that's out number two. And now it'll be back to the top of the lineup for the Tarpons. Harias, who is 0-for-1 so far, drew a walk back in the second inning. Take this pitch low, ball one. Come set. 1-0 pitch misses just below for ball two. Two balls, no strikes here to Arias with a runner on first. And now this one fouled off over and into the inside part of the roof here at Clover Park. Got to be alert down there in the crowd. Ball ricochets and comes right back down. Two one misses high, and Ankeny for the first time has fallen well behind. Arias ahead 3-1. One pitch, ground ball. This one's fielded by Rodriguez. He'll flip on to second, and that is in time for out number three. So a leadoff single by Green. No damage done, though. Ankeny gets the rest. Mets head to the bottom of the fourth here, down by two at Clover Park. back now here on this beautiful Thursday night at Clover Park. $2 night as the Mets take on the Tarpons in Game 3 of this six-game series. A.J. Ewing will lead it off here for St. Lucie. Mets still looking for their first hit of the ball game. A.J. Ewing will take this pitch high here. Credit where credit is due. Herring has pitched an excellent game so far through the first three innings.
Yeah, still not give up an earned run yet now in over 13 innings this season between three different opponents. See why the Yankees drafted him in the sixth round out of LSU, and they really like him.
Small pause. There was a bat left just outside the Tarpons dugout. A.J. takes this one for a strike. Count evens up at 1-1.
It's that sweeper right there that's been his best pitch and his calling card. Makes it even tougher when you're facing your lefty hitter.
1-1, line drive right to the second baseman Green, and he makes the catch for out number one.
Well, in true A.J. fashion, probably toughest pitcher the Mets have faced yet, starter, and even the pitcher taps himself in the chest saying, that's on me. That pitch was too good, and A.J. hit it right in the screws, 104 miles an hour exit velocity. His outs continue to be tough.
And now it'll be Marco Vargas at the plate. And he flies his pitch into right field. It's down for a base hit. The Mets' first one of the day. Vargas takes a turn. He'll hold at one.
And you think if A.J. didn't hit it right at Green, he'd probably be on third base right now.
There's no question with A.J.'s speed. And
but on the positive, that's two really good swings in a row for the Mets hitters on essentially the same pitch. That slider catching too much of the plate, and sweeper. The Mets hit it right in the nose.
Gutierrez is now at the plate. He'll take this one too low in the zone, and it's 1-0.
You know, and if you're the Mets and you've got this pitcher who's so good with that particular pitch, but the fastball that backs it up is only 89 to 91. If you can force that fastball more often.
Takes this pitch low, and Gutierrez is ahead 2-0. And this is exactly how you do that, laying off those pitches early. Now a pickoff attempt to first. Back in time, though, is Vargas.
Yeah, so the Mets are still in that adjustment period. They've seen him one time through. McNeil and Hauk have seen him twice now. Ewing and Vargas have as well. So see if the hitters can continue to make that adjustment as they all hit their second time through.
2-0 pitch taken for a strike. Count 2-1. Herring only at 48 pitches. Been efficient. Gutierrez, a big cut, waves and misses here. Now the count's evened up at 2-2.
I rarely used changeup for Herring at LSU, but he busted out a good one right there.
Timeout taken by Gutierrez. And those pitches that you don't throw super often, it can be really useful to throw off a batter. It can also be dangerous, though, as it's a pitch you don't use too often. Look to first for Herring, and now the throw home. Gutierrez, ground ball. This is fair. Diving stop by Harbor. He throws to first off the bag, and he is safe. Gutierrez will reach at first. And it's an infield single.
Now, this is an outstanding play by Harbor. A throw just too tall, and the first baseman Gonzalez did the right thing. Make sure you make the catch first. Don't try to hold the bag, reach, let it go by, and then the Mets are circling around the bases. So, great play by Harbor, just couldn't quite finish the deal.
And now it'll be Jeremy Rodriguez with runners on first and second and one out here in the bottom of the fourth. Herring fires in a slider. That's for a strike and a challenge here from Rodriguez. Mets have already lost a challenge today. Lose this one, they would be out, but they are not. Pitch is low for a ball, and the Mets win a challenge.
close, under an inch. But in general now, between Ewing, Vargas, and Gutierrez, all three batters this inning, they've all hit the ball well. So the Mets offense starting to come on here.
1-0 pitch, again taken by Rodriguez, and it's 2-0.
I think if AJ yanks is a little more left or right, he's got a hit. Gutierrez could hit his another inch or two left. He's probably got a double. Mets have been that close to already having a run this inning.
2-0 slider that gets in there for a strike. 2-1. Look back to second, Herring set, and the pitch. That misses outside, and Rodriguez pulls himself into a 3-1 count. And this is where you wonder if you get to see that fastball. Rodriguez can pounce on it. And he takes it for ball four. So that'll be a walk issued to Rodriguez. And the Mets now have the bases loaded.
It's now four quality at-bats from all four hitters in this inning.
Second time through, they say, is one of the hardest four pitchers. You've seen him once, and now it's Trey Snyder. Struck out in the second inning. It's a check swing on a called strike behind 0-1.
It looked a little uncertain there. Back to the rare changeup for Herring as he plays this little cat and mouse game now to try to keep the Mets guessing.
Herring is set, and now 0-1. Snyder, shallow fly ball into right field, but this one's going to fall right into the glove. Tagging from third base is Vargas, and he is in to score.
Another good swing.
So it's a sacrifice fly, and the Mets have cut the deficit to just one. Gutierrez and Rodriguez both held, did not tag on the sacrifice. So now Vincent Peroso with runners on first and second and two outs. Now that's a big run for the Mets. Give them a little bit of confidence. They've been hitting the ball well in this second time through. Vincent Peroso, who was excellent yesterday, takes his pitch low, and there's that shuffle. He went all the way out of the batter's box on that one. No pitch, misses outside. 2-0. Mets trying to tie this game up. Two outs, two runners on. 2-0 pitch. Rosa, big cut. Can't get a piece of it, and it's 2-1. One pitch is taken by Peroso, and he's ahead 3-1.
He showed that great eye yesterday with the two free passes.
Three balls and a strike to Peroso in the set. And he fires in a strike. That's a full count. Peroso with the challenge. Thinks this is ball four. And they're not going to give Peroso the
boy.
Challenge. Peroso's asking.
He did ask for it in time. He took a little step back and asked. He did. And I don't know if Reed Hoover didn't see him or. And now he's going to. The umpire's going to get together. Yeah, maybe the umpire just didn't see him because I thought that was asked for in time.
It was a little bit later than maybe some, but it was definitely
They're gonna deny it, and that's too bad because it was a ball. It should be a walk. That's how you almost really have to be simultaneous.
A little bit too late. Perozzo does not get the challenge, and instead it's a full count. With two outs, action pitch here. Runners will be going. Payoff from Herring. Perozzo takes it for ball four. So he gets the walk anyway. And now the bases are loaded for Simone Juan.
This is important bat for Juan. Try to really get his season going here in front of the home crowd.
First pitch to him, taken high for a ball. Would love to get this $2 night crowd into the game. That's only trail by one, but a bases loaded opportunity with two outs. And Herring potentially on the ropes. 1-0, called strike. One and slides in there for a strike, and now a challenge here from Juan. This one is seen and granted.
I don't think he's going to like the results.
He will not. It's a strike and well in just about the entire ball.
He basically asked for the challenge as the strike was being called, so he was pretty convinced that it was a ball.
It was not, and that's the second loss, so they are out of challenges now for the rest of the game. 1-2 pitch, this one taken too low. And the catcher, Rania, wants a peel. He had it, had to hold his arm up for a minute. 2-2 with two outs, and the base is loaded. Pitch on the way from Herring. And Juan takes it low.
Big pitch coming here, huh?
Huge. With the bases loaded, runners will be going. Mets down by one. And Juan at the plate. Herring is set, and now the payoff on its way. Taken for called strike three at the knees. And that will end the inning. One that was a full ball in the strike zone, so the Mets will leave them loaded. They do score one in the inning as we head to the fifth here at Clover Park. Welcome back here to Clover Park. Look what we've got up in the booth.
Man. Look at this. We got a hot dog, popcorn, soda. Big Boy Soda. All this, $6.
$2 a piece.
$6.
What
get
a great
ticket
deal.
For like 10 bucks if you're in advance, 12 bucks when you're game of the day or on game day, and you just made out like a bandit. So
here's a pitch taken for ball one.
We didn't
by
bring
Perez.
In the, we didn't bring in the $2 beer.
not shown is the select $2 beers that you can get. 1-0, shallow ground ball fielded by Haug, takes a couple of steps, fires to Perozzo, and that is out number one.
And look at Phil digging his paws in there.
Already taking the hot coals.
Just getting in there. Oh, if Lauren Diacetis is here. We got a whole.
It's a party up here
gonna put,
in the
no,
booth.
Lauren's having a beverage. We can't put that on the air. Oh, is it a sailfish?
Here is Sanchez. At the plate, well, I'm getting tossed hot dogs now. This pitch is taken here, ball one.
I like to eat on this broadcast. That's what we do best. Well, Lauren's going to tell me a funny story, so.
Oh, boy. Here's the 1-0, and it's fouled off. Sanchez got a piece of it. I'm still getting food thrown at me. What's this? Oh, we got mustard packets now. I missed the throw. 1-1, and this is taken high for a ball, and it's 2-1. $2 night, one of the most popular nights here at Clover Park. 2-1, swung on and missed, count evens up at 2-2. Always a nice crowd that comes out to enjoy the good deal every Thursday night at Clover Park. You can come out and with the $2 hot dogs, popcorn, sodas. High fly ball into left field. Racing back now is Ewing. He's underneath it on the track, and he'll make the catch for out number two. That's a ball that carried a little more than I think was expected by Ewing initially. Speed, plenty of time. He has made the catch. So two away now on a ground out and a fly out. Be Arena. But first, a pitching change for the St. Lucie Mets. Luis Rivera out. That'll end the day for Eli Ankeny. We'll take a quick break when we come back. The new pitcher on for the Mets. A new pitcher here for the St. Lucie Mets is Christopher Gomez. He will take over for Eli Ankeny. And he will face off against Arena, catcher here for the Tarpons. First pitch here from Gomez. And it's a called strike just at the knees. Gomez comes in with a strike, and Gomez, nice job to get in and not have a pitch clock violation. It's something we've seen a lot early in the year. Fastball misses low, and it's 1-1 now. A lot of pitchers who come from the bullpen not used to that clock, which goes almost immediately. It starts counting down for 2 minutes. 1-1 pitch taken outside. Close, but not close enough. That's 2-1. Gomez behind here to Urania. 2-1, two outs in the inning. And the 2-1 pitch is flown into right field, racing across is Juan, and he's going to make the catch in foul ground. Nice job by Juan, who had to cover a lot of ground, but it's a 1-2-3 inning for the St. Lucie Mets. We'll head to the bottom of the fifth. The Mets trailing by one, Clover Park. Back now here at Clover Park on this Thursday night, 73 degrees at the ballpark. Nice breeze, too. It's a little chilly, though, I will say. Although the rest of the Mets organization probably is not happy with me saying that, because it's very cold for them trying to play baseball right now. And as a Florida boy, here is Jeff McNeil, who breaks his bat on the first pitch. And it pops right back to the pitcher, Eric, who makes the catch for out number one.
Well, two things. A pitcher fielding his position on a pop-up. Things you love to see. Second of all, I believe, didn't Syracuse get snowed out yesterday? This might be as cold as we are. I'm freezing up here. I have to have this pullover on. It's always about 10, 15 degrees cooler in the press level. Higher up, wind tunnel. Probably in the low 60s right now where we are.
Here's Colin Houck. Swings and misses on a first pitch slider. I know it won. But we did nickname this series between the St. Lucie Mets and the Tampa Tarpons, the Mets and the Yankees affiliates, the Sunshine Series. A one pitch taken low for a ball. Evens up the count at 1-1. And, well, Florida known for its warm weather. So when it gets down to 73 degrees, those Florida natives get a little chilly. 1-1 pitch, another broken bat. This one gets past Ehring. Now the throw to first is in time from Arias.
Well, that was slick on both ends. This caught a piece of the glove, so that's 1-6-3. And we got a blind scoop there on the backhand by Gonzalez. That was nifty by the Tarpons.
You had so much going on that play. The broken bat from Houck, the second broken bat for the Mets in this inning. And then just getting a piece of it was Herring, and then Arias with the nice throw after racing in to get to that ground ball in the first place. And now a fly ball into center field, racing in quickly and making the catch for out number three. That'll end the inning. Mets go down 1-2-3 They still trail by one here in Clover Park. Back now here in Port St. Lucie. St. Lucie Mets taking on the Tampa Tarpons. Game three of the six-game series. Christopher Gomez returns to the mound, and he will face off against Harbor, who is one for one so far today. First pitch is in the dirt in the opposite batter's box of Harbor, and it's 1-0. And the Mets only trailing by one run. Pitching staff has settled in nicely here. 1-0. That misses just a little bit too high. Tarpons with just two hits since the third inning. 2-0. And this one misses. It's a 3-0 count to Harbor. Remember, the Mets are out of challenges. One of those hits from the Tarpons since the third was a home run from Harbor. Now a pitch taken for a strike just at the knees. One fouled off. We got a piece of it. The count is now run full. Gomez will come set and deliver the payoff pitch. And that's taken outside for ball four. So it's a walk here to lead off the inning against Harbor. The walks have been a slight issue for the Mets in this game. That is the fifth walk of the game. Now Tyler Wilson at the plate, 1-for-2 so far today. He takes this pitch outside for a strike. While the sun is not completely set, it is now below enough to where Perozzo can see again. Pitch taken low. Evens up the count. I'm sure Perozzo tell Gomez he's happy to have any pickoff attempts now. Much easier for him. And one pitch. And it's a high fly ball. This one just beyond the infield. Who's going to catch it? It's Rodriguez. Oh, no, it's out of his glove. He'll walk over to second, though, to make the out. Well, Harbor thought that one was going to be caught all the way, so standing basically just a couple of feet off first base, and then Rodriguez drops it. So they at least still get the out. Ends up basically just being a fielder's choice. No infield fly rule. So now here's Austin Green. He will take ball one.
Yeah, and if you go back to that play, there's no really other outcome. It's a runner on first, Parks Harbor. Where's he going to go? And if he's halfway and that ball's caught, he's going to be doubled up. So that was really the one result play.
And now the 1-0 pitch is flown into left field. Making the catch is A.J. Ewing. And that's out number two. Well, Adam, it looks like the wind is having an effect, especially on the balls that are getting that high in the air. We saw the Mets infield kind of dancing around, and Rodriguez, who moved around a bit, couldn't make the catch. And then Ewing took a couple of steps in and then went back into left field to make that catch.
Yeah, it's rolling around, and once the ball gets the height over the roof, it can start to move. I think Rodriguez, he had a good beat on it, just didn't see it all the way into the mitt.
Young Mets defender who will continue to keep working on the little things like that and get better every day. Someone who's been showing a lot of promise in the Mets prospect system. He's had a really good start to the season at the plate. Just over 270. This pitch misses just low, and it's 2-0 now. Two balls, no strikes, two outs in the inning, and a runner on first for the 2-1 Tarpons lead. Gomez set, and the 2-0 pitch. Taken just outside, 3-0. Gomez falls behind here, deep in the count. Pitch, that'll get over. Gomez stays alive in the at-bat. A 3-1. Walks with two outs, usually not the worst thing. 3-1, and that will find the zone just on the outside. Count has run full. And the one thing you don't want to do is, with the two-out walk, push a runner into scoring position. With Wilson standing on first right now. Full count, two outs, Wilson will be running. And here is payoff from Gomez. Hard line drive caught by Snyder at second base. And that will end the inning on the line out. Mets strand a runner at first, and they trail by one here at Clover Park. Marco Vargas will lead it off now for St. Lucie here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Mets still trail by one. His first pitch is taken for a strike, airing back out on the mound for his sixth inning of work. Definitely the best starting pitcher that the Mets have faced so far here in 2025. Vargas fouls this one off, just gets a piece of it. Well, the Mets had the 1-2-3 inning in the fifth, but in the fourth inning, had the bases loaded, were seeing the ball well, had a couple of well-struck balls. We'll see if they can get back to that. As they are third time through the order here. This pitch is too low, and it's 1-2 now on Vargas. Slowly trying to find their way back into this game. 1-2 pitch. And that misses outside. Count even up at 2-2. Herring is at 78 pitches so far on the night. Have to believe this is likely going to be his last inning. 2-2 pitch. And it swung on and missed. Vargas down on strikes. And there's one away in the sixth. Gutierrez next up here for the Mets. He's 1-for-2 so far today. Had the single back in that fourth inning. He's just taken for a strike. This is right in the lineup where the Mets started to put together a couple of good hits. Gutierrez chases, gets a piece of it, and he's behind 0-2. But it seems like Herring has settled right back in despite that fourth inning, but the 1-2-3 in the fifth, and now with one out is ahead of Gutierrez 0-2. He's back in after his timeout. O-2 pitch, swing and a miss for strike three. That's back-to-back strikeouts here in the sixth. Two outs in the inning. That'll bring Jeremy Rodriguez to the plate. Rodriguez 0-for-1. Showing bunt. He's going to put it down right to the third base side, and that is a fair ball. A bunt signal for Jeremy Rodriguez. Now Harbor, who is playing pretty far off the bag at third base. Now Rodriguez put it in the perfect spot where neither Harbor nor Herring could get to it. And with the speed of Rodriguez, he's easily on first. So a two-out base runner for St. Lucie now with Snyder at the plate. Snyder fouls one off down the third base side. Roll all the way in the left field. Wilson will retrieve that one. We'll see if the Mets can do something here with Rodriguez on first. It's 0-1 to Snyder. Snyder, who had that home run in his first at-bat, hasn't really quite found his way. Big cut there behind 0-2. Trey Snyder, another prospect, a lot of Mets fans and Mets organization is excited about what he might be able to bring to the table. 0-2 pitch. Skips in the dirt. Rodriguez is going to take off. Here's the throw. It's wide.
Nice. Wild pitch.
Green had to get off the bag to make the catch. It's a wild pitch. And Rodriguez advances to second. Now a base hit here from Snyder could potentially score Rodriguez to try and tie the game. Big opportunity here for the Mets. Timeout taken here by Urania. Back in and ready to go. One ball, two strikes. Herring, a look to second, and now the throw home. taken low. And that is ball two. No, it's a 2-2 count. Deuces are wild with two outs and a runner on second. And a 2-1 Tarpons lead. 2-2 pitch is fouled off. Snyder got a good swing, but just a little bit too late on a changeup in the middle of the zone. Count stays even at 2-2. Mets trying to tie this game up. And this is taken for a called strike three. Snyder watched it go by, and that will end the inning. For the Mets, they still trail by one. And we will now head to the seventh here at Clover Park.
Ah, the Jetty Bar and Package. What a place to be. It's an end-of-the-night type place to be when you're at Fort Pierce. Not that we know anything about that. As we start the seventh inning of a fast-moving ballgame here at Clover Park. Twilight hour, temperature 73 degrees. Tight game, 2-1 Tampa. Each team with three hits, no errors in the game. Christopher Gomez begins his second full inning of work. In a 1-1 count with Josue Gonzalez, who struck out twice tonight. Slider out, two balls and a strike. Bases loaded walk drawn by Roderick Arias with two outs in the second. Parks Harbor, two out, two strike, home run in the third, made it 2-0 Tampa. Pitch is fouled back. Mets got a run on a sac fly by Trey Snyder in the fourth with the bases loaded. Then later in the inning with the bases loaded, Griffin Herring, the starter, struck out Simone Juan. That was the Mets' big chance that fourth inning. They hit some good baseballs that inning and only got one run out of it. 2-2 pitch, misses away. It's a full count.
Well, I will say, Adam, you handed me a 2-0 with the Mets trailing. I'll give it back to you 2-1.
You did. You got the Mets a run and three hits. 3-2 pitch from Gomez, and he gets the swing and a foul. So Gonzalez really expanded to get a piece of that.
He just got a little bit of that ball. It's a protect mode type of swing. You know you're in trouble, but he got his arms extended and was able to get a piece. He was alive.
So we'll do it again. This time it is ball four. He spiked the fastball, and that's a leadoff walk to the nine-hitter. Christopher Gomez started the sixth inning with the walk and managed to pitch around it. Tried to do so again in the seventh. Well, for the Mets, they didn't get to Griffin Herring in that fourth inning, and then he mowed through him in the fifth and the sixth. You could tell the state of things with Rodriguez bunting his way on. The good news for the Mets is maybe that's it for Herring. And they maybe survived him as this curveball stays high. And it's hard to imagine at 90 pitches he's coming back out for the seventh. Only his third start of the season. Swing and a miss on the curve, but Herring, six innings, 90 pitches. Those are both season highs in a game involving the Mets. Four walks and nine punch-outs.
It's a very, very solid outing for Herring.
It's excellent. His ERA sits at 0.55, just one run in 16 innings plus. 2-1 pitch, and that one's a rocket into deep right field by Arias. Back to the track, and that one's going to get down in the back of the track, bounce up and over the wall for a ground rule double. Roderick Arias, his second double of the series. He might have thought he hit a home run there. Didn't miss by much, as we do have defensive changes for the Mets. See, A.J. Ewing is now in center field. Willie Fanyas is in left. Jeff McNeil's out of the game as his rehab continues with six innings defensively and three at-bats.
Well, the good news for the Mets on that one is it is a ground rule double and actually saves a run. I think it would have been pretty easy for Gonzalez to score.
Yeah, saved a run for the moment. Nobody out. It's going to be a tough four. Gomez to get around this as Alvarez makes another mound visit. Arias already with the bases loaded walk, and now the ground rule double. Together a nice first half of this series. Mets infield has to come in. Getting late in the game. Already down. Gomez, the first pitch. And it's a fly ball into deep right. This will chase back Juan. Still drifting. Turns around and misplays it. Hits off the wall. Two runs are coming in. And Perez is going to stand on second base. It's now 4-1 Tampa. As that play looked doomed from the start for Simone Juan. Out and right. Couldn't get a handle on where that ball was. It'll be a two-run double for Perez.
You know, as soon as that early trouble started for Juan, it just makes that catch that much more difficult. And with the wind that we've seen today, when that ball gets high in the air, Juan got twisted around, just can't make that catch. And instead of it being an out and maybe just one run coming in on the tag, two runs come in. Runner in scoring position in Perez.
So Tampa starting to open it up as this pitch knocked down by Gutierrez. Perez scrambles back to second, no throw. Tarpon's now at their biggest lead of the series. Just moments ago, Mets had the tying run in scoring position, and now this game is flipped. Ground ball the first. That will stay fair. Rosa will knock it down and take it to the base for the first out of the inning. Sanchez retired, but a productive out as he moves Perez 90 feet closer to third base.
Sure, the Mets will gladly take the out in this situation, at least get one on the board.
And we see Luis Rivera, the manager, coming out. Make a pitching change, so that'll do it for Christopher Gomez. Worked around the leadoff walk last inning, but couldn't do it this inning. New reliever coming in with one out and a runner on third when we come back. Josh Blum, the new pitcher in the game for the Mets. Mets infield will move in. Perez on third base. One out, and Mets already down by 3 runs in the seventh. It'll be Engel Urania. And his first pitch nearly hits his poor teammate Perez in foul territory. Look out. Duck and cover.
That's what those helmets are for. Why you wear them? That ball came in quickly.
That's why you stand in foul ground. Hits you, you're not out. This ball is crushed to deep left field by Urania, and that's going to sail right off that double billboard. That's a home run. A 2-run homer against Blum to further open this up. It's now 6-1 Tarpons.
Sinker that just caught middle of the zone, and Urania made no mistake about it. Good swing, high in the air into left field. Gets well out for a 2-run home run to make this a 6-1 lead for the Tarpons.
Tampa, 2 home runs tonight. Parks Harbor had the first one. This went over home run house. That one fell just short. Pitches fouled back. Swing and a miss. 1-2. Blum's pitch sails high. 2 balls, 2 strikes.
Now the key for the Mets now, they're down by 5 runs, but still at least 3 innings. They would come up to bat, try and shut this down, and then slowly build and chip away in any positive that you can.
2-2 pitch, fouled right back to the net.
I mean, we've seen it before. You can score runs in a hurry. The Mets scored 8 in the second inning on Tuesday. Ball game not over by any means, but just have to find that first positive to try and grab back some momentum.
Up and in at 91, a full count. The Tampa side, they might have been thinking, wow, we had our ace on the mound and he's going to depart with the lead, but it's so close. Now they've given their bullpen some room. 3-2 pitch, and Blum will get it in there for strike 3, and Parks Harbor's had a good day, will challenge this pitch. I don't think he's going to win it. He did not. Tampa down to one last challenge now. Second out of the inning.
Yeah, that's what Harbor thought for sure was a ball. He was walking to first base as he made that challenge. But he was wrong.
Swing and a miss. Big rip by Wilson. A rip to right, but foul. Set, waiting for Juan to get back from ball retrieval duties. What is Kenny, the yellow-shirted security guy, doing behind home plate? He's been there for like 10 minutes. Pitch is high. He's supposed to be. What's? Look at that. He's got the hand motions going. Yeah. What is that move there? I thought he was security. This doesn't look like he's doing his job.
He's the mayor of Clover Park.
Okay.
He's doing his
mayoral
duties.
All right, not security. A 1-2 pitch. Half-hearted swing and a miss by Tyler Wilson, so a good rebound from Blum. They're giving up the two-run homer. He strikes out the next two. But Tampa puts up a four spot in the top of the seventh to take a 6-1 lead at the stretch. New pitcher alert for the Tampa Tarpons. It is Tony Rossi. So, yeah, great performance by Griffin Herring in line for a win. Now it's up to the bullpen to hold it for the Tarpons. Mets 9 outs to try to overcome this deficit as they seek a 3-game winning streak. So we've got to deal with the change from left to right-handed pitchers. And here's Perozzo taking ball strike one, and then a foul strike two. Well, I thought Tuesday's Tampa's relief corps was really good until that last inning. They could throw strikes, and then yesterday relief pitching was fairly solid. See Rossi unscored upon so far. And Perozzo down on 3 pitches. It's 10 strikeouts for the Mets offense tonight. Rossi, 25 years old, from Orlando, played his college ball in Charlotte. His 6 strikeouts in 4 2/3 innings now with 1 save. Simone won a walk and a strikeout tonight. Will take a fastball at 95 outside. Tampa looking to get on the board in the series. The Mets won the first two. The Tampa win would also put both teams back to 500 at 6-6. And that's kind of been the story of the Florida State League on the whole, as 7 of the 10 teams today entered the day either 6-5 or 5-6. Ball is fouled off. So what does that leave the other 3 teams? Well, 2, Palm Beach and Clearwater were 7-4. And Bradenton was 3-8. So everybody's kind of lumped together, all 10 teams within 4 games of each other. See if anybody can start to take command. 2-1 pitch, and Juan will take it for strike two.
Well, Palm Beach may be the team to get that chance. They currently lead 2-0 at the top of the seventh.
Yeah, they're tough as always. 2-2 pitch, and it's a swing and a miss. Another strikeout. Now the Mets' last 5 outs they've made have been strikeouts. in a stretch earlier in the game when they struck out four straight times. So Tarpons, we know their offense coming into this series wasn't that lethal. They've done a good job slugging the ball tonight with a couple of doubles and a home run last inning, two home runs total. But the pitching, that was kind of what they've been about. And while it was very poor out of the gates with Landry on Tuesday, it's been better since then. Fania's batting for McNeil, who went 0-3. Jeff's first game in the rehab without a hit. Fania's is beat in a 1-1 count. Two balls and a strike. And 2-2. Tony Rossi in here trying to strike out the side. We'll go to the rosin first.
It'll be the second time in this game that the Mets have gone down on strikeouts for three straight batters.
Vaughn is trying to make sure that doesn't happen, but he can't. 95 right by him. Dominant inning out of the bullpen for Tony Rossi. And we are through seven innings in game three of this series. Tampa in command with a 6-1 lead. Tarpons as we start the eighth inning here. Almost completely dark. Clover night, first $2 night of the year. Attendance 1,297 tonight. Solid for school night. And the first $2 night of the season. A well-behaved crowd, too. Sometimes on those dollar nights, you know.
Things get a little rowdy.
Yeah, that's well. When you see the mayor of Clover Park down there talking to a fan for half an hour, I guess security is taken care of.
Well, he's not down there now. I don't know where he's wandered off to.
Sure, we'll find him. Austin Green in a 1-1 count. Blum delivers the pitch at low. Green 1-3. Out, no harm, no foul with the bases empty. 3-1. Foul, oof, that caught poor Reed Hoover, our umpire tonight. Thumbs up, he's all good.
He's done well behind the plate today. Only one challenge that was won by the Mets.
You know, on the whole, we are three series deep now. All these umpire crews in the FSL are in their first year as pro umpires. You wouldn't know it.
No.
They've commanded the games well, and they've had a lot on their plate. Between the clock, the challenge system, pie slice, 3-2 pitch, and it's a bouncer out to second. Snyder fields and throws for the first out. Retires Green. More on Josh Blum, 21 years old, from Houston, Texas. The Mets 16th round pick out of USC. Appearance number 4 for him on the season. Entered with a 3.38 ERA. First game this week. Last pitched Saturday night in Lakeland. Part of that 10-3 Mets win. Marshall Tool fouls one back. He's 0 for 2 at the walk tonight. Lyons one foul. Is back in place. Blum's 0-2. Good. Cutter inside. Bad effort. Pitch, a floater into shallow center, racing in AJ, puts it away for out number 2, and Blum has now retired all 4 he's faced since the homer graded him.
Now this is a chance for that little moment for the Mets. Get this next out for a 1-2-3 inning and just carry over that positive into the offensive part of the game. And maybe try and chip away here and build something late.
Josue Gonzalez started the last inning with a walk, turned into a 4-run frame, pushed the 2-1 lead to 6-1. Always dangerous to walk that ninth hitter, setting the table for the top. No one pitched. Cutter for strike 2. And Gonzalez uses his timeout. O 2 on the way. Cutter out. Two pitch, cutter again, struck him out. A good inning for Blum as he retires the bottom of the order in order. Sends this game to the home eighth. Getting late at Clover Park, Mets trail 6-1. empty mound for the moment, but here's Rossi coming off the striking out the side in the seventh. He'll face Hauk, Ewing, and Vargas. Good as trio as any for the Mets to try to get on track offensively tonight, as Hauk takes a slider out for ball one. Tampa's had the lead since the second inning. Hauk takes the ball on appeal, didn't go. Mets had the golden opportunity in the fourth. The great starting pitcher Griffin Herring was on the ropes, but he managed his way through it, allowing just a sac fly. Maintain a 2-1 lead. Strike is called. It's 2-1. And then that top of the seventh, walk, ground rule double, two-run double, and a two-run homer. Opened up a 4-0 lead, the four-run inning, as Hauk takes strike two. Count is even. And Hauk will use the timeout. Slider struck him out. Pitch goes to the backstop. Collin just now notices this is going to be close. The throw, no. Hauk is safe even on the hesitation. Got away from Urania, and the Mets lucked their way into a base runner on a strike three. Wild pitch.
And Hauk thought he was out. He was turning to the dugout when he realized took off. But you know, this is something you take it if you're the Mets. You get a base runner here with no outs, and one of your best hitters at the plate in A.J. Ewing.
It's a start. Now Ewing up. A.J. goes the other way, but this ball is going to tail into the net. A.J. 0-for-3 tonight. Made that loud out in the fourth. 106-mile-an-hour line out. Upon further review, we're told that strikeout is a pass ball. No wild pitch. That's missed by Urania. Official score bill got another look. Hauk safe. Ewing's batting average down to 425. How could he? Oh, we have a balk called or a time called.
It looks like just time.
Some talking coming from the Tampa dugout towards the umpire. Oh, one pitch. Ewing cuts on it, fouls it off Urania. Ouch. Tough inning for Urania. The pass ball and not get stinged. Ross to the 0-2, and Ewing will let it pass. Hard fastball at 94. And that's, if you're Rossi, that's how you should pitch a hot hitter like A.J. Ewing right now. I mean, 0-2, yeah, waste one. And a lot of pitchers just going right in the strike zone all the time against Ewing, and he's made them all pay. A 1-2, a check swing. Oh, he went too far. Not sure Ewing thought he did, but Reed Hoover did, and that's all that matters. So that back foot slider gets it for the first out of the inning. Second strikeout of the inning for...
He made the recognition that that pitch was coming too far inside, but just by the time he did start to hold up, it's a little bit too late.
Well, A.J. was the last Met to make an out by putting the ball in play. As Vargas swings, everybody else has since struck out, except for Jeremy Rodriguez, who bunted his way on with the hit. So this right now, between Herring and Rossi, is an absolute pitching clinic. It's what is the second-ranked offense in the league. 0-1 pitch, and Vargas puts one in play, but it'll stay in the field of play for Wilson. Deep in left, as out number two. And then a Vargas strikeout, a Gutierrez strikeout, the Rodriguez bunt single, then Snyder, Perozo, Juan, Vanyas, Hauk, Ewing, it all struck out successively. Hauk reaching on the pass ball.
Well, this really has been a clinic from the Tarpons pitching staff. And the Mets have one run and three hits, but one of the runs coming on the sacrifice fly, as just talked about, Adam, this ball gets away. Hauk will advance up to second. Wow. But as you had mentioned, Adam, that the Mets' last hit was a bunt single from Rodriguez. So even then, they have just not had anything for long stretches in this game.
And that's the sign, isn't it? There's two outs and not going great on offense. You get a guy to bunt single. Almost, I think, makes you feel good as a pitcher, pitching staff, that, hey, that's how they think they have to approach it right now. We're doing so well. Now, Gutierrez, he took care of his hit streak with the infield hit back in the fourth. It's a seven-gamer now, but here he flies into shallow left field, and it will be caught by Arias on the line. Gutierrez is out, and the inning is over. Essentially a four-out inning there for Rossi. Two strikeouts. Strands runner at second. Head to the ninth, 6-1 Tarpons. Boss Brewer finds himself in an unusual spot. This is his fifth appearance. In his prior four, he had been on the mound to finish a Mets win. Mets won six games. He's been the pitcher to get the handshake in four. But here he's in the ninth, down by five. Doesn't look like that might have has changed his approach as he goes right after Arias with that cutter. Arias, good night at the plate. Double. Spark a rally. Base loaded walk. Makes this cutter low. So Blum, other than the home run to the first batter he faced, did well. Tired everybody after that. Inning in two thirds. One hit, one run, no walks, three punch outs. 1-1. It's down. Brewer had the three pitch inning in the top of the ninth on Tuesday. Mets up 17-6. Looked like Tampa was done for the night. That brutal bottom of the eighth. 2-1. That tied him up. It looks like he might have gone. He did. So, in the Mets, you hope that Brewer has another quick inning here, and that would save him for a lead late over the weekend. Use them again, maybe Saturday or Sunday. A little different in the minor leagues. There's really no true closers. Two-two pitch. Arias gets out of the way of the cutter. Full count.
You don't have those true closers, but sometimes teams do rely on a couple of guys more often than not. But they are not designated as a closing pitcher.
3-2 to Arias, and he defensively fouls it off. I don't think at this level in the minor leagues you're going to see a hard-throwing, end-of-the-bullpen guy close out a game one night, and then if it's close to the next night, he's back out there. That's, you just don't see it. 3-2 pitch. Hey, he struck him out with the cutter. Arias goes down for the first out of the ninth. And back when this was a high A league, you would see it maybe a couple of times a year when organizations, teams wanted to test a guy, see if maybe that's something that down the line he could do. Pitch back-to-back days out of the bullpen at the end. And it was rare, but it would happen a couple of times a year. This ball is grounded by Perez right out to Rodriguez. He's been steady today. Throw on target. So up two down for Ross Brewer. It's now seven straight retired between Blum and Brewer. Up Brian Sanchez.
It's been a good combination for the Mets, both Josh Blum and Ross Brewer.
And they've been good. Chandler Marsh, I'm not sure, has given up a base runner yet. He closed out yesterday's game with two perfect innings. Frank Ellisalt's been really good from the pen. 1-0 pitch. Swung through and missed.
Overall, there's been a lot of good pitching from the St. Lucie Mets. Of course, they're outshined today by Herring and Rossi, who have been just outstanding. But overall, on the season for St. Lucie, you really like what you've seen from the pitching staff.
Cutter gets the swing and a miss, and that pitch has been lethal all season.
And then offensively, the Mets have been good as well. They haven't been quite able to be as consistent as maybe as they have hoped. And again, ran into some very good pitching against the Tarpons today. But that's why we're seeing the Mets where they are, one game over 500.
A 1-2. Struck him out. Cutter, goodbye. Ryan Sanchez, the latest victim of that pitch from Ross Brewer. Man. He has come out of the gates on fire. This St. Lucie Mets bullpen, a 1-2-3 ninth with two strikeouts. Mets down to their last hacks in the bottom of the ninth, and we come back. last call for the Mets. We have a new pitcher for the Tarpons. It's right-hander Chris Beach. Rossi, two innings, shutout. No walks, five strikeouts, one base runner on a strike three pass ball. Jeremy Rodriguez will look to get the Mets started. As this pitch misses for ball one. Rodriguez today, a walk and a bunt single. That qualifies as probably the best day for a Mets hitter. Mets have been held to three hits as this ball is fouled away. On their last at-bat on Tuesday, they scored five runs. That is not as important as this would be. They're up five runs at the time. Six runs at the time. 1-1 changeup stays high.
It's a tall task to get back into this game and win it here in the ninth, but well, it starts with base runners. That'll be the key for the Mets to at least have a chance.
Mets had some big late innings in Lakeland. A big one on Tuesday as this pitch falls in for a strike.
No question, they've done it before, and they've got the talent to do it.
Beach the 2-2, pitch clock violation on Rodriguez, and that is out three. Apparently not alert to the pitcher with 8 seconds left on the pitch clock. Louis Rivera is going to come and argue this. That's how this happened in the Mets game up in Minneapolis a couple of days ago. It's a tough pill to swallow if the Mets want to come back to win this game, the bat taken out of their hands. $2 night crowd into their cups, bothered. Trey Snyder takes a fastball high. Here comes the 15th strikeout suffered by the Mets this evening. Change up for a strike. One pitch is hooked over the glove of Harbor and down the line. Snyder's going to put on the gas. He goes to second headlong. He's in there with the double. Good piece of hitting by Trey Snyder. Just cleared the deck there, third baseman Harbor.
Snyder showing off the speed, gets that one in the left field and slides in for a nice double. Throw was a little bit offline and no chance to get him at second. A little bit of life now for the Mets. Crowd loved it. See if they can get Snyder home, cut down this deficit.
First extra base hit of the night for St. Lucie. Shake off that automatic strike three call to start this inning. It's Perozzo 0 for 2 with the walk. And he'll take change up for ball one. One 0 is outside. Two balls and no strikes. Change up for strike one. For Perozzo, that's a good take. That's not the pitch you want to swing at. The 2-0 count. Can hunt for better. Change up again. This time goes after it. Two balls and two strikes. It's been the favorite pitch by Veach this inning. That depth and fade to it. The high 70s.
see if he goes back to something similar or tries to come up in the zone and change the eye level of Perozzo.
There it is again. Bottom falls out. Perozzo strikes out. 16th strikeout for Tampa pitching tonight.
Why not go right back to it? It's been working so well. Perozzo swung at it twice that time for the strikeout. That's down to their last out.
So it's up to Simone Juan. Walk in two strikeouts for him tonight. And he shoots one foul. It's Scamper in the Tarpons dugout. We'll pause while that ball gets picked up.
First baseman Gonzalez had to go run and keep that.
Yeah, that
one.
Was that did not land in a good spot, too far for JJ, first base coach. Right fielder's not going. Somebody had to get it. Oh, and one on one. Oh, and two. Rare fastball. And the Mets down to their final strike on this $2 night at Clover Park.
Well, if you're Juan, you're watching from the on deck circle. All those changeups down low, and then look out, here comes a fastball.
Beach has kept the Mets guessing. Oh, and two. Here's the pitch. It's a swing and a miss on that changeup, and the game's over. A three-strikeout inning again, the third one of the game for the Tarpons pitchers, who by far put together their best performance of the series as they take game one, game three, 6-1. Tarpons on the board in this six-game series. Snap that two-game losing streak and the Mets' two-game winning streak. And now this series is 2-1, and both teams are 6-6 on the season. It was a masterpiece on the mound for the Tarpons against this blazing hot Mets offense. Held St. Lucie to four hits and one run on a sac fly. It was Griffin Herring, six innings of one-run ball, nine strikeouts. Rossi and Veach combined for the final three innings with no hits, one hit, and eight strikeouts. Very impressive by Tampa tonight. Mets offense will try to shake it off. Mets pitchers, by the way, only allowed six hits in this game, and now Tampa only has 14 hits in the three games total. So Mets still did well, but Tampa's hits, when they got them, were big ones. A couple of home runs and a couple of doubles pulled away in the seventh inning with the four-run frame. Winning pitcher in this one is Herring. Losing pitcher, Lanthier. Step aside, come back with the postgame show to wrap up Tampa's 6-1 win over the Mets. Back at Clover Park, grounds crew getting to work. Got to get this field set for tomorrow. And we'll start the back half of this six-game series, which the Mets still lead 2-1, but the Tarpons have been getting better. They lost 17-6 in game one. Mets hit everything. Yesterday, Mets got a lot of hits, but not a lot of hits with their scoring position tonight. Mets just didn't get a lot of hits, period, as Herring, Rossi, and Veach put together a great trio. And here are the highlights of tonight's game. Arias First batter of the game. Look at Jeff McNeil getting the start in center field on this major league rehab. Tested right out of the chute. Makes a great sliding catch on the run. In the second inning, Tampa would load the bases. Here's their one hit in the inning. They would score on a bases-loaded walk against Lanthier. Lanthier, two pitches, two outs in the third inning, but Parks Harbor homers as the third batter to make it 2-0. Marco Vargas would get a base hit here, one of four for the Mets on the night. As the Mets try to come back, Diverson Gutierrez rips this down the line. Great stop by Harbor. Could not complete the throw, but maybe saves a double for Gutierrez. But for Diverson, that is now a seven-game hit streak, as he was credited with an infield hit. Mets had the bases loaded, one out. They get their only run of the night on the Trey Snyder sack fly. Herring would later get out of a bases-loaded jam. Then in the seventh inning, this was kind of the fateful inning for the Mets. A couple of doubles in the inning plus a home run. A two-run double made it 4-1, and then unloading is Engel Arrhenia. Two-run shot off the new pitcher, Josh Blum. That made it 6-1, and that was more than enough for the great trio of Herring, Rossi, and Veep. So, Jake, the winning streak for the Mets, the two-game winning streak comes to a halt there as they just ran into a buzzsaw on the mound tonight. It happens.
That's really the story of this game, is how good the Tarpons pitching staff was on the mound. They were fantastic. They had a total of 17 strikeouts in this game. But there's some positives here from the Mets. This was a one-run game until that seventh inning, and the Mets pitching staff picked up 12 strikeouts of their own. So there's a lot of good things that they did in this game. Offense wasn't quite there, but again, credit is due to the Tarpons defense. If the Mets can continue that pitching into the next game and get the offense moving again a little bit, no reason they can get right back to it.
Yeah, pitching was good for the Mets. Just a couple of big extra base hits there for the Tarpons, but again, the Mets, it's only 14 hits allowed as a staff through three games. I think you'll sign up for that basically every series you play. So the Mets will turn the page. We all will turn the page. Tarpons 2 broadcast. Everybody's going to turn the page. They have no other choice. To tomorrow, it'll be a Friday night affair. Vets at the Mets here at Clover Park. The Mets will look to go up 3-1 in the series. Tampa will try to even things up. It'll be a 6:10 first pitch. Airtime on Bally Sports Live will be at 6 p.m. sharp. Well, folks, that'll do it for this game, this post-game show, and this broadcast. Once again, your final from Clover, Tampa Tarpon 6, St. Lucie Mets 1. For Jake Ricker, I'm Adam McDonald. Thank you so much for making the Mets part of your Thursday night. We hope all of you out there watching have a pleasant remainder of your evening.